to you. Well, today is the third Sunday. I've been talking from the book of Ecclesiastes. We're following Solomon's search for the meaning of life. Solomon, as you know, was the wisest man that ever lived. God said to him, "Make one request of me. I'll give you whatever you ask for." And Solomon was wise enough to ask for wisdom. So he was the wisest man that's ever lived, but even with all of the wisdom, he had this nagging fear of living an insignificant life. There were times he just looked at life and wondered, what's it all about? Now, I know you've been there. Even though we may not be as wise as Solomon, all of us in our private thoughts have had those questions. What is the purpose for life? Solomon starts out the book, and it's so depressing. If he were to write this book today, he could have titled it, "Life Sucks." I know, you've come for good news. I'm going to give you good news, but this is the real world. Solomon, after he wrote his romantic, poetic book, the Song of Solomon, and then later in his life wrote the Book of Wisdom, Proverbs, then in his older age, he's wondering what was the meaning behind all of life. And it's a book of contemplation and introspection. He was soul searching. We could call it the paralysis of analysis. You know, you can do it too much, but he was caught up in this, and he said, everything is vanity. Everything is empty. Everything we do in life, our best effort is like trying to grasp the wind in our hands. It even got so bad for Solomon in his search for meaning. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 17, he had drawn this conclusion, "Therefore I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me. For all is vanity and grasping for the wind." Emptiness, all is emptiness. Now, he had a bad day. Now, me, I'm a happy man almost every day. I'm optimist. I'm not even a realist. I'm an optimist. I've told you, my glass is always half full, at least, and usually running over. And I've had a bad day once in a while, but I limit my bad days to one in a row. Solomon had a bad day. The first two chapters are downers. But then, by the beginning of chapter 3, he makes a little sense of life and finds a little bit of what he was searching for. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and beginning with verse 1, Solomon said, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to dance, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." And then look down at verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I'm talking this morning about a reason for every season. He finally begins to make some sense, still doesn't understand it all, but reaching a place where he can trust God with what he knows and for what he don't. Life is a mixture of good and bad. Life is a mixture of joy and sorrow, peaks and valleys, even life and death. And we must take the rain along with the sun. Solomon had surmised as much by this time. In music, and we have some music scholars here. That wasn't funny over here. Okay, all the music scholars are on this side. In music, it takes the major keys and the minor keys. It takes both the sharps and the flats. And when you put it all together, you create a beautiful melody. A song that was popular when I was a young man, and I'm still young, sung by Jim Croce. And the words go like this: if I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes. Wouldn't that be great if we could save time in a bottle? Time is what we're talking about this morning, and there's a reason for every time and every season in our life, but we can't save time in a bottle. I read a poem recently. I'll share it with you because it describes the human condition, including me, and I'm sure you. Have you ever been guilty of wanting to be in a different season than the one you're in right now? Some people are never happy in the season because they wish it were a former season or they wish it were a future season. I'd rather be in some other season than the one I'm in right now. The words to this poem go like this. I can relate. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted. The warm days and the great outdoors. Then it was summer, but it was fall I wanted. The colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. Then it was fall, but it was winter I wanted. The beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. Finally, it was winter, but it was spring I wanted. The warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted. The freedom and respect. When I was 20, it was 30 I wanted. To be mature and sophisticated. Then I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted. The youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted. The presence of mind without limitations. My life was over, and I never got what I wanted. Solomon looked at everything in the best sense he could make out of all the futility and vanity and emptiness in life is to be happy, find some kind of joy and happiness in the season you're in, understanding that the seasons change. Now, time is an interesting subject. We save it, we waste it, we spend it, we invest it. So many things we do with our time. But as I look back over my life, and did I mention I'm still a young man? Already I have enough in my rearview mirror that I can see that some of the good memories I have. I never started out to make good memories for those instances. So we seldom start out to make good memories. What happens is we make memories and they become good in time. Think about it. I have two daughters, Brandy and Tiffany. And many years ago, when Tiffany was a teenager, living at home, Brenda had gone to Texas to be with our daughter, son-in-law, and our grandchildren there and left me behind. Nanny has to go more than Poppy. And so Tiffany and I were at the house, and Tiffany got sick with the flu, fever of 104, and she was a sick girl, a teenage girl, and Mama in Texas, and Daddy is having to give care. So I took her to the urgent care, and we got her some medicine, and I took her home, and we camped out in the den and all weekend. And I have never watched an episode of Desperate Housewives in my life. But in her sickness and her high fever and just being stranded there in the den on the couch and me giving her medicine, we watched every single episode of Desperate Housewives that weekend. We binge watched. I mean, I got to know all those girls. And I look back now and think, that's one of the best memories I have with Tiffany. I didn't start out to make a good memory. We just made memories, and they become good in time. God is a God of seasons. Solomon had figured that out by Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Genesis 8 and 22 says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Now, there have been seasons in my life when if I had the power, I would have changed the times and seasons. You may be in a season right now in your life. You have more questions than answers, more frustration than peace. You may be powering through a season, and you would pay good money if you could to change seasons, but you can't. You can't. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, God changes the times and the seasons. They're in his hand. By chapter 3, Solomon had figured that out. And so the best question that we can ask ourselves in real time, present tense, are you living in the purpose of the season you're in? The purpose of God runs through every season, but sometimes his purposes for our life changes with the times and the seasons. And another issue is the whole change factor. None of us like change. We like to be comfortable and stay with the familiar. And the truth is, it's hard to let go of the past if you have not learned from it. My three grandchildren who live in Austin, Texas, have two grandfathers. I'm only one. The other grandfather, Roy H. Williams, Googling, he's interesting. Best-selling author, and he says change is inevitable. Growth is optional. So it's hard to let go of an old season if you've not learned from that season. It'll keep you bound there. Much easier to let go of a season and move forward when God changes the times and seasons if you've learned from the last season, if you've grown from it. The Bible says that the sons of Issachar had understanding of the times and knew what Israel ought to do. Imagine it. If you have understanding of the times and seasons, you'll know what to do. The Bible does not say the sons of Issachar had the gift of prophecy and knew what to do. The Bible does not say the sons of Issachar had the gift of discernment, the word of knowledge, even the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the fruit of the Holy Spirit and knew what to do. The Bible says they had understanding of the times and then they knew what to do. God give us understanding of the season we're in. And we're not all in the same season at the same time. Farmers have a certain time to plant. And they have a certain time to harvest. And if the farmer does not understand the seasons, it will lead to his misfortune. Now, in these verses here, and listen, I'm touching a nerve right here. Most of our thoughts are private thoughts when it comes to these issues. But Solomon had the foresight and the wisdom to write them down, and they're available to us as canonized scripture for our admonition, for our instruction in living. But Solomon gives attention to our emotional life. You know, we do have emotions. I'm looking out at people, and I see some who are emotionally asleep. We don't like to be emotional unless it's a drama queen. We downplay our emotions. But Solomon embraces the fact that in the area of the soul, which is the part of us that handles our emotions, we can go from one extreme to the other. A time to weep, that's an emotion. And then a time to laugh, that's a polar opposite emotion. A time to mourn. And then on the other extreme, a time to dance. Solomon said, you will go through emotions in your life from one end of the gamut to the other, depending on what season you're in. And all of them are legitimate if the time is right. Everything is beautiful in its own time. But think of it. This speaks to our emotions, and emotions change based on the season that we're in. He said, there's a time to be born and a time to die. Face it, life for all of us begins in the womb and ends in the tomb. Solomon had made an observation about death in chapter 2. When he was questioning, what's the use? Why is it even worth it? Everything is emptiness, emptiness. Everything is vanity. Nothing makes any sense. Nothing under the sun makes sense. And he said, what benefit is it to be wise? Because you can have two men die on the same day. One lived his life wisely, one lived his life foolishly, but yet here it is, the day of their death. Both of them are dead. A fool and a wise man. Death has equal claim for both of them. Emotional issues. And he says there's a time to kill and a time to heal. And listen, you've heard it. It's been said many times that time heals all wounds. But the truth really is, God heals all wounds in time. Solomon uses the word time 29 times in this one chapter. Times and seasons, and there's a reason for every season. You may not be able to make any sense out of the season you're in right now, but God has a reason. There's a purpose in it. He never does anything randomly. He's always purposeful in every season. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. Not everybody's in the same season. You may be in a dancing season. Others are in a mourning season. Today, some families are grieving the loss of a loved one, planning to bury a family member. And yet today, probably another family that lives on the same block where the family who is mourning lives is planning a wedding, celebrating love and marriage and the famous father-daughter dance at the wedding reception. Some people today are burying a loved one in mourning. Other people today are dancing a father-daughter dance at a wedding reception. Not everybody is in the same season. There is a time to mourn. That's an emotion. And there's a time to dance. Solomon said there's a time to keep and a time to throw away. Heads up, hoarders. Listen, we collect and we throw away. There are some exceptions to those who don't throw away. But the sad truth about that is, if you don't throw it away, your heirs, your survivors, probably your children will be the ones to have to pick that up and say, it was important to Daddy, but not to me. Pitch it. We collect and we throw away. The oldest member of our church when he passed away was John Robinson. I think he was 94. And for many years, he was celebrated as our oldest church member. His wife, Miss Beatrice, had passed away a few years earlier, and he was a loner, a widower. He was a mainstay here at our church. They had never had children. We were his family, the only family he had. And now in his 90s, he was no longer able to drive, and I had the honor of picking him up from the hospital when they discharged him to take him to the room in the nursing home where he would live his final days. And I picked him up at the hospital and said, John, let's go by your home. I know you're going to need a few little clothes and things to take to the new place they have where you will live. So we went to his home, and the man had thousands of books, boxes of newspaper clippings. He had never thrown anything away. And in a matter of 30 minutes, he and I walked through his house, and I was so very aware, whatever we gather here will be all he will have for the rest of his life. And so we took a few clothes and a special picture or two and a frame and packed it in my car, and I drove him to his new home, which was the room where he died in 2 or 3 years later. But there was a man who should have read this scripture right here. There's a time to keep, and there's a time to throw away. I think what happened after he passed is the nearest relative he had was a lady who lived in Florida, and she was a niece by marriage, and she came and handled throwing stuff away. So maybe I'm speaking to somebody out here today who needs to throw some stuff away, because the Bible says there's a time to keep something, and then there's a time to throw it away. And then There's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. The Message translation says, there's a time to shut up and a time to speak up. Now, the most problems I've ever had in my life was when I did not know the difference in which one's the right thing to do. By speaking up when I should have shut up, or by shutting up when I should have spoken up. Brenda and I have friends who pastored for many years. We've known this couple. I'll call their names. Roger and Pat Gosnell. Dear friends and wonderful people. Pastored a great church in North Carolina. And one thing I appreciate about Roger and Pat that forever keeps them close to my heart is they had four sons. All of them were grown, and their youngest son was a night cashier at a convenience store in North Carolina. And while he was working the graveyard shift, somebody came in with a gun to rob him and got less than $50, but put the gun right here over his heart and pulled the trigger and killed him immediately. I remember getting the call about that, and our hearts went out to Roger and Pat. But over time, God healed them of that. And Roger, our friend, went to the prison where the man who murdered his son was being kept and prayed with him and led him to the Lord and started loving him. And when his court trial came, Roger went to court to appeal to the judge for mercy. Wow. Well, that's how special they are to us. But Brenda and I forgot what city we were in. We were having a meal with Roger and Pat, and we were at a restaurant near a window we could see outside. And it was 20, 25 years ago when whatever car manufacturer, I forgot, I don't keep up with cars, but it was a new color. It was this bold, brilliant neon yellow. Now you see them all the time, but back then, it was the first year cars were in that color. And it was just so bright and so, And so we were sitting at the restaurant with Roger and Pat eating, and a car pulled into the parking lot of the restaurant. And I just simply said, rolling my eyes, who in their right mind would ever buy a car that color? And Pat said, I just bought one last week. I wish I had known it was the time to keep silent. There's a time to keep silent and a time to speak. I remember one Sunday after church, we had a baby dedication, and as we do here, a lot of family members, from the newborn baby being dedicated, mom and dad brings the baby and all the relatives. And so usually for a baby dedication, we have people that are visiting, relatives of the newborn, and I don't know them all. So we had a stage full of family members, a beautiful little baby right here in the middle, mom and dad holding it. And so I'm going down the line introducing all the people, and I get to this little old lady over here on the end. And by now I thought I've kept up in my mind who everybody was, and I get to this little old lady here in the end, and I looked at her and I said, and you must be the great-grandmother. Oh, she immediately said, I am not the great-grandmother. I'm just the grandmother. God help me learn when is the time to keep silent. So I made the best I could out of it. I said, well, what I meant by that is, yes, I know you're a grandmother, but aren't you a great grandmother? But I know she's still did the best I could. Not every thought that goes through your head is ordained to come out of your mouth. I want to learn from that season so I can move on to a new season. But there was so much Solomon did not understand. Even with all of his wisdom, he lacked full understanding. And God has designed us that way. Why would we need to trust him if we understood everything? And the bottom line of Solomon's search, and I may move on next week to something else. I'm not a series man, but I've dwelt here because I felt like it was worth digging into Solomon's search. All of us are on that journey in our lives. But here's the bottom line. There will always be a longing within us for something more than we've ever experienced until we know God personally. Now, I've been through many seasons in my life. Some of you may be in a season like this right now where you can't make any sense out of what's going on in your life. And if you were God, it wouldn't be happening like this. Or if you were to God, it would have been over a long time ago. If you were God, you'd have done things differently. And you don't understand the mess you're in. And so you got to trust God with what you don't understand. Sometimes there are seasons in our life that God can write over that season. We'll explain later. And that should be good enough. Trust overrules our understanding. That's what faith is about. Chapter 3, verse 11, he says, he's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts. Except no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. The message says, we can never know everything God's up to. The Amplified Bible says, we cannot know God's overall plan. That's why trust is so. I think Solomon finally got the comfort he was searching for when he realized, with all my wisdom, it's only helped me realize how much more I need, how much I don't understand. But it's good enough to live your life, find the joy in every season if you can, and trust God with what you don't understand. Now, in closing, there are two regrets most believers have at the end of their life. Now you can guess what number one is. Number one is, I regret I had not been more faithful to God. That's an easy one. I regret that I have not been more faithful to God. But the second regret, I think, is just as popular in a person's last days. And that is the regret that they did not take full advantage of all of the joys in life that were available. They were not as grateful as they should have been for the simple pleasures and the many opportunities in life where we could celebrate God's goodness and his blessings. They failed to see the blessings in the midst of the burdens. And aren't we so focused on the burden? Oh, God, in this season, I've got a burden. Well, you've got a million blessings right there with it, too. Oh, but God, there's this burden. Oh, I don't want to come to the end of my life and realize I have missed out on so many blessings because I failed to be grateful for them. The spirit of gratitude enables us to magnify our blessings and keep trials in perspective. I told you before about this little old lady I read about. She had served the Lord all of her life. She had learned to trust God. And in her old years, she told a fellow believer, and she said it like this, "I've been trusting the Lord so long now, I can hardly tell the difference between a trial and a blessing. I've been trusting the Lord so long now, I can hardly tell the difference between a trial and a blessing." Whatever season you're in, be thankful for the blessings. Trust God with the burden. Trust Him to make the decision on when He will change the time and the season, and celebrate the truth that regardless of the times and the season you're in, there is a reason for every season. Would you stand?